This is a soft thicklet compilation by Maz Pebble Sharp, read by Maz Pebble Sharp. It's a compilation of my softest little thicklets, mostly an excuse for just some mushy feels and lots of kissing and mukshep stuff. There are five thicks. The first one is Good Things Happen When You Slow Down. The second is Between a Rock and a Soft Place. The third is 9 months. The fourth is Inexorable. And the fifth is The Things You Learn Playing Chess. Ficlet one. Good things happen when you slow down. We've been walking for hours. Just admit it, we're hopelessly lost. And we need to just stop and wait until they come rest. Retrieve us. John glowered at Rodney. His sense of direction was atrocious, but his ability to admit this was non-existent. Which is fine, it's actually quite nice here, Rodney tried to reassure him. They were in a never-ending meadow full of flowers that Rodney was strangely unallergic to. The temperature was a still, soft 20 degrees Celsius. And the sun was low in the sky at this altitude and non-burny. There were no people on this planet and no large predators in these parts. Close to paradise. When was the last time we got to just stop and chill out for a bit? John gave him an odd look, but shrugged and dropped himself fluidly into a nest of long grass, sprawling there unnecessarily prettily. Rodney folded himself next to John with considerable less grace. You see, Rodney said, this is nice. We can watch the clouds. I haven't watched clouds since grad school. That one looks like a giant snail riding a pony, John said, pointing upwards. What? No, it doesn't. Oh, well, okay, I can see it now, actually. He turned to look at John, and John grinned at him. They were lying awfully close, and since when had that happened? Rodney usually kept more distance with people he wasn't dating, but John had, for a while now, stepped into his personal space and made himself at home. Well, the man was more than half cat. The marshmallow man from Ghostbusters on a skateboard, Rodney pointed out. John chuckled, turning to him again, his breath the only air movement on the so still day. The surrounding flowers had a clean, soft scent, but it didn't obscure the disturbingly delicious odour of John's sweat. Rodney fidgeted, more out of habit and a little bit of not knowing quite what to do with himself than real discomfort. If I had a pillow, this would be perfect, he said, grumbling for the sake of it. Instantly, John extended his arm out, and oh, John just offering himself up for the other's benefit was right on brand, but this was something Rodney didn't know how to name, but was powerless to refuse. He let John slip his nicely muscled bicep under his head, and it really didn't make anything more comfortable, but was still strangely perfect. There's a dragon smoking a hookah right over there, John said, as if nothing monumental had just happened. And so it went. Check-in and retrieval would be in 3 hours, and the slow, soft day stretched out for them deliciously. Purple butterfly-ish things flitted around their heads and managed not to be annoying about it. Cyan bell-shaped flowers nodded with well-deserved vanity amid the grass. The cloud spotting became typically competitive, but their voices got quieter and more relaxed. Somehow, Rodney's head eventually crept along John's bicep and onto his shoulder. Damn, Rodney said an hour and a half in. I need to go water some flowers. John chuckled. Me too, he said, an inaudible sigh moving through his body. They extricated themselves reluctantly and strode a few paces in opposite directions, backs turned, but not really shy after years of being out in the field. Rodney talked down his semi, did the necessary, and turned round to find John heading back to their little nest, flicking his eyes over to Rodney just in time for their gazes to lock. Rodney could feel his cheeks heat. What the hell was going on with him today? Was there sex pollen in the flowers or something? But he knew that wasn't it. He could feel his mind and body's languor from the long walk, the soft day, and the rare magic of nothing to do. But there was nothing altered about his state. Unfortunately, slowing down had enabled some feelings to catch up with him, and any intoxication was all the John Shepherd effect. As if by some unspoken agreement, they lay back down on their sides, propping heads up on bent arms, perfectly mirrored, facing each other conspiratorially close. Stolen time, John said thoughtfully. We can do what we like, right? Forced to play hooky from all of that. The last word was so heavy and full of meaning, Rodney would give anything to take its burden from John forever. Instead, all he could do was lean forward and press a slow, careful kiss to John's mouth. John's lips parted gently as his body lost all its tension, melting back down onto the grass in a delicious slow-mo that eventually had Rodney's body covering his. It felt oddly like the continuation of a long conversation, a natural, unhurried progression of an inevitable trajectory. There was well over an hour left until check-in, and Rodney knew every moment was going to be taken up with the slow slide of their lips, the lazy probing of their tongues. Kissing John Shepherd like they had all the time in the world. And maybe they did, because he couldn't see them wriggling their way out of this entanglement. Now it had them in its blissful hold. Nothing else was needed. As they kissed slothfully in the stupidly perfect meadow, Rodney knew that they had been heading to this for a long, long time, and now there was no hurry at all to find out what was next. Except he was committed to making certain to dedicate a whole area of study to making John as soft and relaxed and loose-limbed as he was right in this moment. Ficlet 2, between a rock and a soft place. The good news. Neither of them was injured, beyond hard bruises and scrapes. Rescue would be forthcoming in a few hours when Atlantis checked in. There were no hostiles on this planet. The bad news. Cold. Not hypothermia inducing, but so fucking cold. Enough to necessitate they huddle together. Even if they weren't trapped in an unreasonably small space for two adult humans who were, to John's eternal regret, just good friends. At first, McCabe babbled into the darkness, which was his signature tune, really. For the first months of their acquaintance, John had felt irritated by Rodney's anxious prattle, but over time he'd been far too busy fighting fantasies about kissing the man silent. Kissing the man stupid to be really bothered by the noise, and by now, so many years in, he just felt reassured by it. Their bodies were pressed close, unavoidably, wedged in a fissure that only just accommodated them, hemmed in by a huge boulder from the rockfall above them. John could see patches of starlight around the edges of it, but there was no gap big enough for a man to crawl through. The combat engineers would be able to get them out, though. A jumper could move that boulder. And maybe it was the sight of starlight that was helping Rodney manage his claustrophobia, because really, he was doing amazingly well. John felt proud of him for that. When John thought about how close they'd come to being turned to jam, his own heart rate spiked uncomfortably. They were safe now, he was pretty sure. He let out a breath, and his body relaxed against Rodney's. Fortunately, they were at a slight cross to one another, chests pressed together, but Rodney's hips were below John's, meaning John's groin was mercifully pushed against cold rock, not warm Rodney. Rodney was holding his head up at an awkward angle, clearly trying not to invade John's space, but it was impossible. Relax, McKay, we're going to be here a while, John said, arms tugging Rodney closer. He knew Rodney was tired. Working late last night on shutting off another rogue ascension device. The man had turned up to work this morning, only 2 hours ago, regardless of what the night sky above them might have to say. In yesterday's rumpled clothes, unshaven and gulping sugary coffee. His vaguely tangy scent surrounded John, but he found it comforting and familiar and oddly appealing. Rodney relaxed, lowering his face into John's neck, his stubble scraping John's newly shaved skin, his breath hot. John shivered. "You cold," Rodney murmured into his neck, the vibration of his lips delicious against John's skin. John shivered again. Rodney shifted as much as he was able to provide more body warmth, smushing himself against John's body. "It's nothing to you," he said softly. "You're going to lose heat fast." Rodney nuzzled in more, his lips brushing John's neck again, and John couldn't disguise his sharp intake of breath. "Huh," Rodney said, as if he'd just spotted some interesting energy reading. He moved his face against John's neck so his lips brushed again, this time more deliberately. John went to pieces just like that, making a little noise in his throat that was unambiguously needy. Rodney replied with an improving hum, this time pressing a kiss to John's jugular. "Rodney," John said breathlessly. "Shh, I'm busy trying to figure something out," Rodney said, his voice amused and fond. His lips worked their way to John's jaw, mouthing along it by increments, nipping at it with a light graze of teeth alongside the prickle of his stubble. John tried hard not to whimper. He didn't manage not to make pleased little sighs, though. And then Rodney pressed an oh-so-gentle kiss into the corner of John's mouth and quickly pulled away. John felt bereft at the loss. "I can stop if you want me to," Rodney said, his voice sounding deservedly smug. Attractively smug, damn it. "Never," John ground out, his own voice sounding a little strained and very desperate. Rodney's lips located his then, full on, open and hungry and oh so intense. Because of course Rodney was a genius kisser, and thank God he was greedy for it, like it meant something to him too. Well, of course it did. You don't go kissing your closest friend for a casual thing. Rodney was way too kind for that, which meant, oh God, it meant this was something. John melted into the kiss, their lips nipping at each other. He was enjoying the scratch of Rodney's stubble, welcoming a clever, probing tongue, his own flirting back with intent. Rodney's hand, which had been looped around him and resting between his shoulder blades, slid with deft fingers up his neck and into his hair. John shuddered at Rodney's touch. It was as if sparks were pouring from his fingertips, igniting John. How could anything possibly feel this good? Kissing Rodney was better than he'd fantasized, and he'd fantasized it as amazing. They lost time like that, unable to pause the slow and thorough exploration of each other's mouths, lips, faces, necks. Maybe an hour later, maybe more, Rodney buried his face into John's neck, his breath ragged, and held John to him even more tightly. John hadn't been cold in a long while. "Didn't know this was an option," Rodney said. "How long has this been an option?" "This was always an option," John said, pressing a kiss into Rodney's hair, his lips unable to leave the other man alone. An oddly turquoise dawn was ambling along the skyline when the combat engineers arrived. The two of them were stiff and beginning to feel their knocks and bruises. But for the intervening time, they had never quite managed to stop kissing for long, their lips drawn powerfully back to each other. It was inexorable, like some fundamental scientific force. It made John wonder how this never happened before. There wasn't a shred of doubt that it would happen again and again. When they were freed, it was to a cold, pre-dawn light. Carson was there to check their injuries. But John was typically stoic, and Rodney surprisingly so. Looks like you scraped your face on the rock as you fell, son, Carson said to John. Let's get something on that. John felt his ear tips burn as Rodney hid a smirk behind a pretense at coughing. He wasn't going to complain. He hadn't been kissed this thoroughly since his teens, and he was definitely going to make sure it happened again very soon, just as soon as McKay had a good, close shave. Ficlet 3. 9 months. 9 months, John said, resting a cupcake on the corner of Rodney's desk with his most pleased smirk. 9 months since we, John gave Rodney a meaningful look. Since we've been together. Really? Feels like 9 years, Rodney said. John's face fell. No, not like that. Rodney wished for once he could manage to say the right thing, but if he had that skill, their dating history would have been considerably longer. I mean, it feels like we were already together, just not saying the words, you know? John relaxed and nodded. Yeah, he said, and his face twinkled adorably. Rodney found himself caught up in John's eyes for a moment. They were green now, and that always signified strong emotions. He sensed in this case they might be passionate ones. I'd really love to kiss you right now, John said, his voice low. Everyone knew about them, and DADT was long gone, but they still needed to be discreet. Besides, appropriate workplace behaviour. There was nobody near enough to hear them, but they weren't alone. Rodney grinned his soppiest grin as his heart went all to mush. How did he get to be so lucky? I'd really like to kiss you back. Slowly, he responded. By now he knew how to tease John with just a word. And okay, push his own button simultaneously, he reflected as a wave of heat flushed through his body. Oh, when he got John alone, he was going to do things. Unhurried, careful, thorough things. John said, his pupils dilating. Rodney was still awed at how John responded to him, how into him John was, how mutual things were. It was almost a head fuck now, how different it was than anything he'd had before, and how something so passionate and intense could be built on a bedrock of relaxed, easy friendship. Everything he thought he knew about love had been overturned, and he was nothing but delighted about that. He picked up the cupcake, breaking a piece off. Looking around the lab to make sure nobody was watching, he offered it up to John's oh-so-perfect lips. John took it with the merest flick of his tongue across Rodney's fingertips, but that was enough to make Rodney's stomach do somersaults. He took another piece, enjoying the feel of bringing those same fingertips to his own lips as much as he enjoyed the salt and caramel goodness of the cake. And if he made a small performance of licking the frosting off his fingers, well, John's wide-eyed look told him it was very much appreciated. I have to go. Later, John said, his tone filled with all manner of delicious promises. Later, Rodney said, imbuing the words with his own vows. Ficlet 4. Inexorable. Later, Rodney pulled John into the V of his legs, began to work the muscles of his shoulders, pressing deep, unhurried. Months of them like this, a meandering flow into this something that was now between them. At first, it was so slow, John almost didn't notice they were changing how they were with each other after all these years. After a while, when he realized he wasn't imagining it, that something new and good and warm and lush was unfolding. He thought that there would one day be a sudden shift, hands down pants, tongues in mouths. What happened was nothing like that, was intricate and delicate and perfect, and by the time it had woven its way into John, he didn't even care anymore that he thought in such terms. It was good. They had slowly evolved, putting their hands on each other in new ways, not furtive or hesitant, but purposeful, careful, patient. John was no longer ashamed to make little needy noises when Rodney touched him, had long since ceased to hide the evidence of his arousal, had seen and felt the bulge in Rodney's own pants many a time, even though neither of them appeared to be in any rush to acknowledge the depths of their desire. They knew the inevitability of it, knew they would be pulled down into those depths in time. Once he might have wondered what they were waiting for, but he didn't see it that way now. Rodney had shown him the value of not being in a hurry, and things were emerging, moving at their own deliciously glacial pace. John slid his hand up over Rodney's, closed his fingers around the grip Rodney had on his shoulder, began to softly stroke back and forth, fingertips trailing along each of Rodney's clever digits. Suddenly he felt bold and needy, lifted Rodney's hand to his mouth hungrily. John kissed the base of Rodney's thumb gently. Rodney gave a gorgeous, helpless little noise of approval. John opened his mouth, closing it around the soft mound. Licked. Rodney groaned, his hand pressed into John's lips, as needy as John was himself. John knew better than to rush them. He might not fully understand why they needed not to, but by now it was a guiding principle of them, and oh, it worked. So his heart was in his mouth when he slid an exploratory tongue carefully up the length of Rodney's thumb. Yes, Rodney breathed, his jolt of arousal tangible against John's lips. Slowly, John sucked the tip into his mouth. He suddenly realized he was shaking with desire, not for anything specific, just wanting Rodney, little bit by little bit, until one day, at some undefined moment in the future, he knew there would be nowhere they hadn't been. No rush at all, but no stopping it either, no way to halt the exquisite inexorability of them. It wasn't hesitation, it wasn't fear that kept them moving like Discworld sunlight, all molasses slow and slothful. They both knew, without a doubt, where this was heading. They were taking the scenic route, pausing to admire every pretty tree and rock along the way. John was inordinately, giddily happy about that. It was vital not to miss anything on this winding journey, because if Rodney trailing a single finger the length of John's spine had been more momentous than all the fucks he'd had in his entire life, then actual sex might be just too much to handle without a lot of gorgeous, ecstatic preamble and preparation. It felt like they were weaving a beautiful web to hold themselves in. And oh God, when did John start thinking in such poetic terms? But the words felt right. Suddenly, the ugly world was beautiful, and the two of them were beautiful, and it was also goddamn fucking beautiful. John slid his lips down Rodney's thumb, his tongue pressing into the salt of Rodney's skin, his fingers curling around Rodney's in a way that sparked a torrent of emotions more intense even than the heat he was feeling. Fuck. He was so in love, he sometimes wondered if his tired old heart would cope with it. Rodney's other hand stroked up John's neck, fingertips pushing into John's hair, scritching and teasing. His fingers inched their way sensuously over John's scalp, leaving trails of spark in their wake as John's mouth continued to devour Rodney's thumb. When his palm fought its way free of John's bangs and rested above his brow, Rodney gently pulled John's head back onto his shoulder, pressing a soft kiss to his temple. John's heart danced, honest to God, danced. That was when John realized Rodney was shaking as much as he was, just as needy, just as lost in the intensity of this. Holding his breath, his mouth slid off Rodney's thumb, and he turned his face towards the man who was slowly, seamlessly becoming his lover in a way that felt like maybe they had always been lovers. A press of lips was all there was to it, but it came with a jolt that threatened to stop his heart. He pulled back, wide-eyed, chest heaving. Rodney's eyes were bright, bright blue, and liquid with emotion that was just as transparent as everything about this man. John was so loved. He didn't know how it had happened, but he was, and he believed it. He even believed that somehow he was worthy of it. Rodney's spit-damp thumb traced its way across John's cheeks and pulled him back, soft and certain. His tongue flicked between John's parted lips, teeth gently nipping, pulling him in. John melted into Rodney, knowing they were entangled now on a quantum level. Realizing how momentous this first kiss was, where it had taken years of foundation building to create the solidity needed to support something so pivotal. The bones of them belonged to each other, and that couldn't be undone. Ficlet 5. The things you learn playing chess. John watched as Rodney moved the bishop to take his knight, those deft fingers decisive, sure. A minute ago, John had a plan. A minute ago, it would have been checkmate in 10 moves. Now he found his brain emptying of everything except the thought of Rodney's fingers. This happened periodically, no matter how John tried to stamp out the little fires that would start up, thinking of Rodney's hands, imagining Rodney's hands on him. When they moved confidently over ancient machinery, sometimes John's mind briefly wondered to what they might be like on his skin. Or when, John gulped, when Rodney snapped his fingers at John, all demanding, John imagined how pushy Rodney would be in a whole other context. As if he was reading John's mind, McKay snapped his fingers right in John's face, and he was suddenly painfully aware he was hard. Ground control to Major Space Cadet, Rodney said, his face amused. Sorry, Rodney. I was just thinking about. John couldn't imagine how to end that sentence, though. Shepherd? Rodney looked at him like he was an equation to solve, and John felt stripped bare, all his secrets so easily readable. Oh, Rodney said, his voice a little breathless, as he found his answers. He tipped his king, carefully packed away the board that sat like a chaperone between them on Rodney's bed, each piece placed just so within the box, fingers methodical, precise, unhurried. The air in the room was so thick with something that it was suddenly hard to breathe, and getting warmer by the moment. Rodney snapped the little case shut, sliding the catch into place. John watched his fingers, riveted, wanting. And then he was caught. Rodney saw, really saw, the intensity of his look. He smiled shyly, and his eyes became bluer as his pupils dilated. He carefully put the box aside, John still watching his hands, unable to stop. Rodney turned back to John, lifting a hand to his face. He let out all his held breath as Rodney stroked the backs of his fingers over John's stubble. Rodney's hands drifted towards his mouth, thumb brushing over his lips. John shivered like he might break entirely apart. If we do this, Rodney said, sounding as shattered as John felt, I need it to be more than a one-time thing, and I might need to take it slow. Okay? John nodded, because of course this wasn't a one-time thing. This was Rodney, and John wasn't about to let him go now he knew this was possible. Instead of words, he took the thumb that was still resting against his mouth between his lips, brushed it with his tongue. Rodney made a desperate little noise and surged forwards, his hand slipping to the back of John's neck, fingers sliding up into his hair. Lips pressing into John's with a passion he'd always known the man was capable of. He'd never imagined it being for him, though. Rodney's lips were, of course, as deft and expressive as his hands, moving over John's in an intense yet somehow unhurried pattern, licking and sliding and nipping and pulling until John was sighing audibly into his mouth. How is this real? Rodney said when he finally pulled back for a moment. Wanted you forever. I didn't think. Same, John managed to grind out, his voice shaky. I mean, not just wanted, really. Rodney babbled, his words so much less skilled than his hands. There are feelings. Yeah, John agreed with a relieved huff of breath. He pushed Rodney back until he was seated more surely on the bed, and then, feeling a little self-conscious but too desperate to care, climbed into Rodney's lap, straddling him. Oh, fuck, John, that's... Rodney started to babble again, and John cut him short with a kiss that was all teeth and tongue and no finesse at all. Christ, it felt good. Rodney's hands found their way inside John's t-shirt, pressing hot little paths up and down John's spine. And he just wanted to grind against Rodney, but dry humping was not quite the memorable first time he was after. He reached for the hem of Rodney's shirt and began to pull it up. He could feel a moment's hesitation from Rodney that he thought was probably shyness, but then Rodney lifted his arms willingly, and John was able to discover his delicious rosy skin, the perfect spread of chest hair, and those prominent, pert nipples. John stroked his hands reverently over Rodney's body, and Rodney blushed adorably, his eyes wide, like John was something special. John couldn't quite believe he was here with Rodney McKay. He kissed down Rodney's neck, along his collarbone, his hands drifting down Rodney's front, brushing his nipples, fondling his delicious belly. Rodney dissolved underneath his hands and mouth, making gorgeous little sighs and what almost might have been small moans. Then he seemed to remember he had a lap full of John to attend to, pulling off John's t-shirt hungrily and mapping out his scarred, hairy body with his hands and eyes as if he thought John was beautiful. John almost whimpered at the way his skin ignited under Rodney's touch. He felt as if those clever fingers were writing on his body in bright lines of fire. When Rodney brushed a thumb over John's right nipple, he gasped in pleasure, rocking a little in Rodney's lap without any conscious volition. He shifted forward, his erection brushing Rodney's, and they both groaned. This is amazing, but also not slow, Rodney said, stopping abruptly, looking abashed. If your cock isn't in my mouth yet, it's slow, John thought. But then he realized his measurements might be somewhat subjective. John gave him a wicked grin and kissed him again, slowing his movements down until they were almost glacial, pressing his body closer into Rodney's. It only made things a thousand times hotter, of course. You're killing me here, Rodney sighed some time later. Somehow he managed to wrestle a by now very pliant John off his lap and down onto the bed, flat on his back. John wanted him so much, but yes, he could wait. Rodney McKay was worth waiting for. John relaxed back, looking up at Rodney with lust-blown and probably love-struck eyes. Rodney's eyes widened as if he only just realized John was here, wanting him, and he slid his body in beside John, his hand stroking John's cheek as if he couldn't quite believe this was happening. John kissed him, and this time it was slow and sweet, because he didn't just want Rodney. He liked the man a lot. He sensed Rodney's insecurity, his worry, and he wanted to be clear how sincere he was. So he kissed Rodney sincerely, and he stroked his hands over Rodney earnestly. And Rodney melted against him in such a trusting way that it took John's breath away. He wanted to tell the man, no, I'm no good at this. Go pick someone who isn't jaded and broken and used to fast and dirty in dark rooms and toilet stalls. But it felt too good having Rodney here. So he just kissed him until it stopped being about want and became a confession of feelings John knew he didn't have the language to speak aloud. And Rodney's mouth was whispering yes and me too into John's without a word being uttered. While those clever hands set about slowly claiming every inch of John. The end.